downtown for three. It's 56-45 at the half.
You're listening to Hamster Wheel Sports, the podcast where we refuse to talk about any sissy topics that don't fall directly into the category of sports. I'm sitting here with my co-host and great friend, Book Bratch. Hey, Book.
Good to be back for season two.
Here we are, season two. Now, there's a few changes here for season two. We're going to try to do more frequent, consistent shows. We're going to try to do a weekly audio show that's devoted to all things NBA. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about international basketball or college basketball. No, not at all?
No, yeah. NBA only.
You're shaking your head. I am too. Forget that noise. We're doing an NBA podcast. We're going to do it weekly here. We're recording it live at Save On Meats, who are gracious enough to allow us to record in their soundproof studio here. I'm excited. So this is our, I suppose you'd call this the Hamster Wheel Sports preseason, because the season hasn't started yet. And I'll be honest with you, Book, if we're teammates, and I'm your teammate, and you show up to training camp, you see me, I'm out of shape. I haven't trained all summer. I'm fat. And I basically, let me say this. You know how you're watching a preseason game, people are missing their rotations, they're turning the ball over, they're bricking shots. I'm going to have to knock off the rust here. I haven't been keeping up with the NBA news, but I'm going to try my best. How are you feeling?
Well, here's the good news. I'm the guy going into his contract year. And so I've been working out hard. I'm in the best shape of my life. I've been working on my jumper. It's coming back smoother. Adding on a game. I've added the pull-up three. I'm a complete player.
That's good to know. And I'm gonna be that veteran presence in the locker room who just cuts every corner he can. I'm going to be like Paul Pierce on the Clippers this year. But... you know, that's great to hear, because you've always carried the show, you bring the info, so why don't we start it off, man, because on Hamster Wheel Sports, our free agency spectacular bonanza, we ended it off with what we assumed would be the final decisive move in the offseason, which was the infamous Kyrie trade to the Celtics in exchange for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, second round pick, and Ante Zizic. And we thought the dust had settled and we were ready to see a new look league, really. And then another blockbuster happened. We're desensitized to these things at this point. But the trade was Carmelo Anthony, who had been long stagnating in New York, was traded from New York Knicks to the Oklahoma City Thunder to join Paul George and Russell Westbrook in exchange for Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and a second-round pick. So, what's your instant reaction to this trade? Well, I mean, the trade happened a couple weeks ago, but what's your analysis?
It's just amazing how little they end up getting. Obviously, Melo was only one to go to either Cleveland or Houston, which made trading him difficult, just simply for Houston. They couldn't take on his salary unless Ryan Anderson's going the other way, but New York didn't want to take on Ryan Anderson. Finally, he opens it up, says, all right, you know, I'm willing to go to Oklahoma City, and Sam Presti just immediately jumps on that. And this is just, it's just amazing, because, like, they get rid of Kanter, who had a bad contract, who almost certainly is opting in to his final year. McDermott, I still think, even though he's been a disappointment, I still think he can be a solid NBA player. He's a great shooter. He's got size. He can play in small ball lineups at the four. But at the end of the day, he's still a poor defender, and he's not that great of a player. And then a second-round pick. I mean, in basketball, that's really not worth much. So Oklahoma City, I mean, even if Melo were to bolt after this year, I mean, they're giving up nothing. They're getting out of that Kanter contract, and they're legitimate title contenders.
I love it. It just seems like... How quickly things move now and how quickly the league shifts. It's like, why not go all in for a year? And why can't that be a wise, calculated decision?
And just, you know, and you're getting rid of Kanter. And it's like Oklahoma City's worst case scenario right now is Westbrook and Steven Adams and then no one else. That's the worst case scenario after this season. And like, that's a perfectly fine situation. And their best case scenario is that they win the title and they bring these guys back and they're...
Or get close enough.
Yeah, and at least bring Paul George back and you're a contender for several years.
I mean, that's isn't that huge how Russell Westbrook signed the contract extension after they acquired Melo as well. So what are the details of that contract? It's 5 years, $205 million.
Yeah, a massive deal.
So, I mean, you got to give it to Russell Westbrook. He's just proven his loyalty to the franchise. And like you said, it's sunny skies for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's just the fact that they're able to make these deals and get rid of the Oladipo contract and the Cantor contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have no bad contracts. And like worst case scenario, you get a clean slate with a legitimate superstar in Westbrook and a really solid player in Steven Adams.
It's fantastic. Way to go, Sam Presti, who really who constructed this, what looks to be one of a handful of championship teams. And he did it by making two blockbuster moves that weren't on anybody's radar.
Yeah.
I mean, in getting Paul George, nobody thought Paul George could possibly go to the Thunder. And then he gets him for Oladipo, and it's a bonus. And then later in the summer, he just swoops in and gets Carmelo a week before trading camp.
And don't forget, he swooped in and got Patterson for nothing.
I keep forgetting about Pat Patterson.
That was just an amazing...
Such a versatile bench player.
I was just bored the other day, and I was watching just YouTube highlights of like that epic Raps comeback against the Bulls last year. And I was just watching it, and man, Patterson, there was just a few sequences late in clutch time where he ended up getting switched on to Butler, and he forced him to tough shots and misses. And it's like that kind of, and Raps fans really turning against Patterson because his shot would just disappear at times, and in the last two playoffs it had disappeared. And so, you know, people had kind of turned against him, and there was definitely flaws in his game. But like stuff like that, being able to switch on to Jimmy Butler and actually hold your own, like that is so valuable. And just him, like that's a skill, being able to switch onto a Klay Thompson, being able to switch onto Kevin Durant and be able to hold your own. Obviously, he's not going to shut those guys down, but he can be a weapon against the Warriors.
Absolutely. You know, the Oklahoma City's roster in the past has always been the guys they've surrounded their stars with. There's always been skeptics, but right now I'd say they have a pretty complete roster. I mean, what about their bench besides Patterson, though?
Well, right now you're looking at a starting lineup of most likely Westbrook, Roberson, Paul George at three, and they've already said Melo's going to start at the four, and then Steven Adams at the five. And so obviously that's a great starting unit. And the nice thing is that you're going to have one of your superstars out there at all times. Patterson will be the sixth man. And then after that, I mean, there's not a lot of depth, and that'll probably hurt them at times during the regular season.
You got a couple good vets. You got Ray Felton.
Raymond Felton is a very nice guy for them just to come in on that second unit. You can play Felton, you know, and with either Paul George or Melo, and that'll prop up that unit.
Can they, do they have room to beef up this this bench throughout the season? Maybe whether it's on buyouts or waivers?
Yeah, there's always guys you can get for the veterans minimum. The nice thing though is that once you get to the playoffs, having a poor bench becomes less of a problem.
100%. So let's go back and focus on Melo. I've always thought that with Melo, it's kind of been there's been an attitude issues throughout history. Whether it was his he wasn't willing to embrace success with Jeremy Lin, and we never got to see that take shape in New York, and there's been moments with Kristaps, so it's just like, I don't know if the only place we've seen him really succeed in a team is in the Olympics, and with he got the Nuggets in the playoffs every year.
Well, I mean, his best year was with the second year, I think, with the Knicks, with him, Stoudemire.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Melo, I think it's going to help that he's playing with Westbrook and George. Like, there's none of that, oh, this is my team kind of attitude.
Right.
Right? Where he's with two legit superstars who, you know, I think even he would admit are better than him. And already he's kind of shown willingness that, yeah, I'm down to play the four, I'll play the four, which is something he fought in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And really where he belongs, like at the four. Melo was an elite spot-up shooter. last year, and he has been, you know, over the past few years of his career. If he plays his role as a guy who's going to space the floor, get, you know, can punish teams if they switch and put a smaller guy on him. Obviously, he'll get his chance of scoring in isolation, but if he can play his role, he can be a really effective player for them because he's a great spot-up shooter and he's a great scorer.
Do you think, given the chance to be in a winning environment, which he's not used to at all, do you think he would buy in defensively for a playoff run, or do you think he's a liability there?
Well, he's going to show up defensively, like in the playoffs. He's not a great defender, and the fortunate part of that is he'll be surrounded by great defenders.
Yeah, everybody else in that starting lineup.
With the exception of Westbrook.
Is Westbrook not a great defender?
Westbrook's a poor defender, yeah. He's really out of control. Like he's
so jacked and intense that you would... Some guys look like they seem to be a good
defender.
Yeah,
he's a guy that you feel like would be, but he's got like poor awareness. Yeah, he's not a great defender. But obviously, Roberson's a great defender. Paul George, his defense has fallen off a little bit, but now in a smaller role, hopefully he'll he'll kind of bring it more on the defensive end and get back to being an elite defender. Patrick Patterson's a very solid defender. Steven Adams is a great defender. That's a good lineup.
I'm stoked for the Thunder. Do you think they have the best shot in the West of knocking off the Warriors?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I'd say they got the best shot.
I think so, too. I think they edge the Rockets in favorability.
Just because of the fact that they can throw the best defensive lineup against the Warriors.
True. They gave up a little size if Melo is at the four, but...
But at the same time, you always have the option of going big, right, with Patterson at the four.
Let's look at the Knicks now moving forward. So, throughout the summer, Phil Jackson was ousted as president after being 80 and 166. That was his record. He was attached to the triangle steadfastly, and it just wouldn't change with the times. Even when his Knicks had a 17-win season, during the playoffs, he had Twitter fingers. He was talking trash about three-point shooting teams when the Warriors won their first chip in 40 years. They have not made the playoffs since the 2012-2013 season. So he was ousted. They mutually agreed with owner James Dolan. The interim president is Steve Mills. GM is Scott Perry, who was hired by the Pistons in 2000, and he helped shape a roster that went to the Eastern Conference Finals 6 years in a row. And he was an assistant GM in Seattle when they drafted Kevin Durant. You know, that takes savvy to draft Kevin Durant second behind Greg Oden. I say all this to say, with a nice young roster with some pieces, actual pieces. I mean, that front court is interesting with Porzingis and Kanter. Do you like the road ahead for the Knicks?
Well, you look at this trade, and it's disappointing how little they got. Like, they couldn't even get a first-round pick out of it, and you got to take on Kanter. The nice thing, though, is at least your Melo's gone. Phil Jackson is gone, and you can move forward building around Porzingis. Porzingis and Kanter, that should be a fun offensive duo to watch. Like, they actually complement each other really well, and I think the Knicks will be able to score points this year. Defensively, it's going to be a big problem. Kanter is a very poor defender. If you have Porzingis, who ends up guarding guys more on the perimeter, you lose him with the rim protection. And then, of course, if Kanter is your rim protector, or if Kanter's out in the perimeter, you know, he's more likely to get beat. But ultimately, the front court of their future is Hernan Gomez and Porzingis, that's a nice young front court, something to build off of. It's those two, and then Tim Hardaway Jr. That's kind of their core that they're going to be building forward. And Tim Hardaway Jr., I definitely agree, is way overpaid and a terrible contract, but he's still a useful player. He'll score.
He had a good season last year. He's going to let it fly. And this is what I like most about this Knicks team is it's fun. And there's going to be no one stopping these guys from just trying to score. and just put up a lot of points.
It'll be nice to see Porzingis just in like, a situation where
to it's... To me, the Knicks seem like a league pass team a little bit.
I think Zach Lowe just came out with his league pass rankings, and I think the Knicks were a bit low. And I do agree with that. I still don't think they're a great league pass team, just because I think they're going to lose a lot of games. Porzingis is not going to be enough.
Well, didn't Jeff Hornacek, their coach, take like a Suns roster that was projected to lose a lot of games to they were just they're one game out of making the playoffs a couple years ago? I mean, don't you see a scenario like that as a potential? I don't see anything holding this. What would hold this team back besides, I know that they have an owner that has been meddled in the past.
They're also just not a good team. Right?
On paper, they don't look like it, but they have nice pieces.
For the future.
I'm not saying they're going to win it all this year.
No, I'm talking about, I highly doubt they'll even be in contention for a playoff spot in a week East.
Interesting. I don't know. I'm bullish on this Knicks team. So we shall see. I guarantee you they'll at least be exciting because their best players are exciting. At least the Knicks, we can agree that the Knicks situation was made better. We can agree that the OKC Thunder have turned into a contender. What else do you want to talk about, Book? I mean, have you watched any red-hot preseason action?
We can talk about Dwayne Wade.
Oh, yes. I saw that him in his uniform wearing number 9.
Yeah.
That must have been a difficult transition for him.
I think that's his Olympic number 9.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. He looks great in his Cavs uniform. And also, I watched a 16-minute video of Cavs scrimmage highlights. Man, they're so deep. But yeah, let's talk about Wade. What you got?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately this comes down to does he make them more likely to beat the Warriors, right? I mean, that's really what this is about. You look at Wade, who shot, he only obviously scored 18 points a game last year, but the more concerning thing was the drop in efficiency. And just a lot of his game was shooting tough contested twos, which, yes, he can make, but at the same time, there's a limited amount of efficiency there, and he just was not able to beat his man consistently, while at the same time was definitely not the defender he was in the past. And obviously, he's not a good three-point shooter either, and so it's how much is he really going to help them. I'm super pumped just for the storyline aspect of him reuniting with LeBron. I think he still is going to be a very helpful player for them. And spot up opportunities, like he's gonna get a lot better looks from three with his team, and I think he'll shoot a better percentage. And I think he's gonna come off the bench.
Really?
Yeah, because if you look at their starting lineup, and I feel like the lineup to start is Isaiah or Derrick Rose at first, and then eventually Isaiah. J.R. Smith at the 2, LeBron at the 3, Love at the 4, Thompson at the 5. I think Cleveland's strength is to play big with Love and Thompson. And J.R. is a better floor spacer, which you need because Thompson doesn't space the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at the beginning of the year when Derrick Rose is playing, he doesn't space the floor. So I feel like you want that 3-point threat. And J.R. is a good defender. Like he showed it last year, and at this point in his career, he's a better defender than Wade. And Wade is a nice guy to bring in on that second unit because he can basically be a backup point guard. Like, he can run the offense. And you have a lot of three-point threats sitting on that bench. Kyle Korver,
mm-hmm.
Channing Frye. So I feel like that's his best role for him.
So do you think that he has that Allen Iverson mentality where at the end Allen Iverson of his career, he became a journeyman because he refused to play off. Do you think Dwayne Wade has that complex where he just doesn't want to be a bench player?
Oh, no. I think Wade knew exactly what he was getting into when he went to Cleveland.
Because I haven't heard your take on it. Everyone's saying J.R. Smith should step aside and clear the way for Dwayne Wade.
It's been talked about, and he said he was asked about it, and he said he's just not thinking about it. He's just getting ready for the season. But I definitely have heard people suggest that J.R. should still start, and I definitely agree. Especially at the beginning of the year, right? Like, you don't want Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, and Tristan Thompson all on the
floor. That's not great.
Like, that's just, there's no space.
That limits your shooting, and that makes things harder for LeBron early on.
And then it's like, you don't want J.R. as your primary option in the second unit, right?
Right.
Whereas Wade, you know, he can generate his own shot.
It's counterproductive to making the regular season easier for LeBron. Whereas I do think Dwayne Wade's presence is going to help his state of mind. I think it's just going to make LeBron a lot happier this year. And I think the Cavs overall are going to be a lot looser this year because they're so deep.
They're a deep team this year.
Do you see Ty Lue doing a lot of experimenting with just lineups throughout the regular season? How many starting lineups do you see project for this season? Do you think it'll change all the time?
The big one is Wade in or Wade out. Tristan Thompson actually just recently said that he wants to be the sixth man of the year, which was kind of a funny statement because I just assumed he'd be a starter.
What do you think of that move of Kevin Love to center, at least to start the season?
I just, you have no rim protection, right?
Yeah.
Like, LeBron is now your primary rim protector, who I assume you'd be starting LeBron at the four. I don't know.
Jay Crowder at the three.
Oh, you could bring in, no, you could, play, start Crowder. Because Crowder, I've always just kind of felt like is going to be brought off the bench.
If you have a starting lineup of IT, like in the playoffs or whatever, IT, J.R. Smith, LeBron, Crowder, and Love, that's like a Cavaliers death lineup, pretty much.
Especially offensively. Yeah. Holy.
Yeah, defensively, I'm not so sure.
You're
relying a lot on J.R.
As long as you're not going up against a center that's going to eat you up. But, I mean, what team has that, you know?
Right.
And
I think the move of Love to center is interesting offensively, but I do wonder why teams... am I old-fashioned in wanting teams to have rim protection in their lineup? Because more and more teams are moving away from it. The two best teams in the East, it's not...
you still want rim protection, right? Like, that's what makes Golden State so amazing, is that they have a dude that can somewhat shoot, but, is fast and mobile, but can also rim protect. Right. And then you also have Durant who can rim protect, right? Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be in your traditional center.
You want rim protection. Rim protection is valuable, right?
Right. And they have it as an option with Tristan, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think you'll see, a bunch of lineups based on their matchups. Crowder, I feel like, is going to be their kind of sixth man and is probably going to end up in their closing lineups a lot, even though he may not necessarily start, just because... Jay Crowder is the exact kind of player that they just haven't had. And right. I think he's going to be very valuable for them.
I do too. So my question is, what if Derrick Rose excels until the point where Isaiah Thomas returns? How do you see that shaking out?
Like, do you mean ultimately him being better than Isaiah? What do you mean by that question? Because the way I see it is... Derrick Rose is going to be a nice guy for them off the bench. As a starter, though, I don't think he's the greatest fit. Like, he's not a great playmaker, which was already what Kyrie's weakness was. He was actually, I think, the only point guard that was a worse playmaker than Kyrie last year.
Mm-hmm.
Except he can't shoot, which was the big thing that Kyrie brought. I think Derrick Rose, who's also not the greatest defender... is best suited for the bench. And if Derrick Rose ends up having to be their starter going into the playoffs because for whatever reason Isaiah re-aggravates or isn't ready, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't really have an edge on Isaiah defensively, does he? So.
Well, I think he's got a little bit of an edge just because he's actually got some size, whereas Isaiah is very small, of course. But Isaiah is just such a much better offensive player.
He seems motivated, and I think everyone's kind of rooting for him.
I'm not.
You're not? Why? You still think he's an a-hole?
For
skipping out on the Knicks last year?
Well, he did not come off good in that rape trial.
Yeah, that's true.
Like even the stuff that he admitted to, I was like, ooh.
So you're saying it's kind of like the Kodak Black deal where it's like, oh, I can't enjoy what you do because I know the kind of person you are.
Well, I don't know the person he is, but definitely like the stuff he just admitted to was already like, ooh, you're kind of a sketchy dude. And so
that's true, but I mean, are you gonna scrutinize like Mike Scott?
What I mean is that I'm not rooting for him.
Gotcha.
I'm not gonna lose enjoyment in a game because he's doing well. Right. But at the same time, I'm not sitting in my corner being like, I hope Derrick Rose does well.
You know what? You're making me seem like like a real jerk for loving Derrick Rose. Yeah, I'm just saying, Derrick Rose can turn the page. It was a tumultuous year last year. It's been a tumultuous career. Is he in full Grant Hill mode now, where it's just like he's should be happy to be on a roster and
can win a championship?
Be a role player, yeah. Right? So,
yeah, and I think he's going to embrace it. Like the dude took nothing.
Yeah,
like he could have got way more on the open market. He's here to win a championship, to be a role player.
That's true. And I don't know, when people play with LeBron, there's usually no like problems in the locker room or anything. The teams usually function very well. I mean, LeBron's made 7 straight finals. He's going for 8. And that's my other question about the Cavs. We're going to move on soon from the Cavs. But, I mean, after 4 years of the Miami Heat going to the finals, that team was just like they were so pooped. And then LeBron made the finals 3 more times after that. How long can this sustain? And is his best shot at a championship to just go out in the first round for a few years?
I think they have to reduce his minutes. Like, he's been among the league leaders in minutes every year. Like, at least, and this year they have depth. There's no excuse. They got to reduce his minutes. And, you know, you look at last year, LeBron dominated. He was amazing in the finals. But the fourth quarter, every game, he wore out. And I don't know if that was so much that he played so much in the season as just that he was carrying so much of the load during that specific game. But that was a constant theme of LeBron wearing out in the fourth when he just basically had the team on his back.
It was so frustrating last year, if you like the Cavs, to watch inexplicably Tyronn Lue play LeBron James for 48 minutes.
He played 37 minutes.
Because you have
tonight
to win regular season games? Why? You're in the East. And they didn't even get the first seed anyway.
They were incredibly bad without him.
That's true.
Yeah, and I guess the defense is that, like, they didn't, even though LeBron would play 37 minutes, they didn't make him shoulder the load for a lot of those minutes.
Right.
So he would only really ever guard the other team's best player during crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyrie shouldered a lot of the offensive load. He was actually the guy that was taking the most shots.
Right.
I guess that's kind of, and just that was the defense, and that, well, yes, he's out there for a lot, but he's not working as hard as,
right,
you know, most other players that are playing those minutes.
So, Book, changing the subject rapidly. You know, while all the star players in the NBA are playing meaningless exhibition basketball in the preseason, it's never too early to make predictions. So, let's talk about the Eastern Conference more broadly. I think the storyline is going to change about the Cavs being totally dominant and no one having a chance of beating them this year. I think it's going to be a bit more intriguing, what with the new-look Cavs roster. So let's talk about predictions for how the Eastern Conference playoffs bracket will look. So who are the 8 teams? You don't have to give me an order, but...
I'll give you an order.
Oh, sweet.
I think the top 4 teams are going to actually just be in the same order. I think the Celtics... are going to win the most games. I think Cleveland's going to end up sacrificing maybe some games in the regular season, but is going to play LeBron less, and they're both. And then I think the Raps are going to be close by. I think a lot of people are underestimating the Raps, but the Raps, one thing we know is that they can win in the regular season. They've shown that they can do it. They suffered a lot of injuries last year, and they still just, you know, churned out wins. And then the Wizards are going to be a great team as well. I definitely see all 4 of those being either 50-win teams or very close to it. After that, I think Milwaukee is... If a team were to pull off an upset in the playoffs, I think Milwaukee is the team. and I have them as the 5 seed. And then the Miami Heat. I think they're going to be a really solid team, building off the momentum that they built up last year. And then for the 7-8, I think there's a little bit of drop-off. I think Charlotte will be a quality team, so I have them at 7. And I think I don't know if this is me hoping or a prediction, but I really want the Sixers to squeak in and grab that 8 spot. I think that 8 spot's up for grabs. There's not really an 8th good team. And so I think a 500 team can get a 500 record can get you that 8th seed. And, yeah, I see the Sixers grabbing it.
That certainly would be fun. I think I worry, and as I always have, about Joel Embiid's health.
Well, the nice thing is that we're talking a 500 record. And so even if Embiid only plays 6, because I definitely in no way see Embiid playing 82 games, even if he is healthy, right? They're just not going to do it. They're not going to risk his health in a season that still, they're still not trying to win this year, right? And so even if he only plays 60 games, so let's say those 22 games they go without him, they go, 5-17, right? So a very bad record. I think they can win enough games to go 500, even going 5-17. Like, I think they can go 12 games above 500 with it, Embiid.
What are they trying to do this year if not win? Just integrate?
Well, they're trying to turn the corner from being a really bad team to, because they've got the pieces now, right? Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, Joel Embiid. Like, these three guys are guys that can start a dynasty.
Yeah.
And so, but at the same time, you're going to have two starters, Simmons and Fultz, that have never played a single basketball game before. I mean, that does not lead to success, no matter how good they are.
Even with Jay Redick's veteran leadership.
Yeah. Well, Redick's going to be a super helpful player for them. That's why I like bringing in JJ Redick and Amir Johnson. It's going to help people's development. It'll help them be competitive. But I think ultimately it's not this year, but next year that the year where they'll be going for, where Fultz and Simmons will have a year under their belt. Covington will be in his prime, who I think he's the kind of guy that you need when you want to be a winner. He might not be the most useful player when you're a bad team.
You've been high on Covington, that's true.
I do really like Covington.
Yeah. It'll be like that when the OKC Thunder with Westbrook and Durant. It was the first year they were the Thunder, and they just they had one of the worst records in the league, but they had like a couple games where like Durant hit a game winner, they rallied, and then the next year they were in the playoffs, and from then on it was onwards and upwards. So I do see that happening. The 8th seed, I don't know. My Eastern Conference, I see it shaking out like this. Now, I agree with you that the top four are our lock. The Celtics, the Cavaliers.
It's just really the order, right?
The Raptors, the Wizards. Now, one thing I'll say is that, so the Raptors had the same record as the Cavs last year. What's good for the Raptors and the Wizards is continuity in their rosters.
Yeah. The Raptors, yeah, I totally agree with this. And actually, there's a really, like, I do not count out the Raptors at all of being the number one seed.
Me neither, now that you mention it, because they're motivated too. And I mean, like, Serge and Kyle re-upped. I mean, I love that quote that Kyle Lowry said when he set the precedent, when he said, my quickest way to a title is this team. I love the message there. And, the sweep by the Cavs is just behind them. You know what I mean? Are they a better team this year than they were last year?
On paper, no. It's really going to come down to the development of their young guys. They need guys to take steps because on paper they are not a better team. They lost Patterson. They lost P.J. Tucker. And they lost Carroll. DeMar Carroll was a big disappointment, but he wasn't a minus, right? Like, he still did bring stuff. Mm-hmm. So losing him for nothing, that does hurt the team. Fortunately, Norm Powell, I'm super high on, and I'm so excited for him to get a big role. I think he's going to be a great player, like a great two-way role player, obviously not a star. And DeLon Wright looked really good in that first preseason game against the Clippers, and I think he's a guy that you're going to see a lot of two-point guard lineups with him at the two. And you might, with the Raptors a little with not a ton of depth at the wing, I definitely could see playing some time at the three,
mm-hmm.
where you have three ball handlers out there, mm-hmm. with Lowry, DeRozan, and DeLon Wright, and you can have some really interesting lineups there.
They're still going with Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah. Jonas, like, he gets a lot of hate because every player on the Raptors is viewed through the lens of, can they help them beat the Cavaliers? And Jonas, he doesn't work against the Cavs. He's too slow. He can't guard on the perimeter. And he's not an effective enough player offensively. Like, he doesn't dominate enough offensively to make up for that. But against a lot of teams, he still is a very effective player, you know, which is one of the reasons they do well in the regular season. And Valanciunas is a good player. People forget that year they made the conference finals against the Cavs. Like, they don't make it to that conference finals without Valanciunas, right?
Right.
Like, they probably they might lose against the Pacers. And don't forget that they very almost lost game two against the Heat, and it was him who came up big.
Right.
And they pulled out that victory, right? You lose game two, you're down 0-2 going back to Miami. Like, they probably lose that series.
I do like the fact that they have the same core and they're going to roll it out.
Well,
I
mean, Zach Lowe had a good line in one of his recent articles that Lowry and DeRozan have, you know, etch marks just grooved into the, you know, the ACC floor. Like, this, they're going to do their thing.
Right.
They know how to do it, and they're going to win games.
And they have an offensive threat in Jonas Valanciunas. I don't know what the order is going to be. I do think that the Toronto Raptors and Wizards are hungry for those top two spots. And there's going to be a lot of figuring out in Boston and Cleveland. The bottom four of the East, I see shaking out like this. The Milwaukee Bucks are a lock at five, maybe even four. Who knows? The Heat are definitely going to be in there. As for the last two spots, you know what? I'm going to say the Detroit Pistons because I'm high on Avery Bradley. And I just don't think they're resigned to losing. I think they want to be winners.
Yeah.
And I think Stan Van Gundy is a great coach. And I think they have pieces, certainly. But I do worry about Reggie Jackson because I just think he needs to move the ball more and be more of a team-focused player. But
and it's the awkward elephant in the room that they were better with Ish Smith at point guard.
Right. Like,
they got worse when Reggie Jackson came back.
Is he still on the roster?
Ish Smith? I'm actually not sure.
Let's find out. Let's find out. Ish Smith. This is going to be a surprise either way. Ish Smith.
He's still on the team.
He's on the Pistons. So, Reggie Jackson, eat some humble pie. Do what you got to do to make the Pistons make the playoffs because, like, there's no excuse, really, in the East right now. They have what it takes to make it.
Well, they need Drummond to improve defensively because last year he wasn't a great defensive player. And it's like, you look, when you have a big man out there who can't shoot at all and he can't shoot free throws at all, he's got to be a great defender, like a monster at the rim. And he's got to crash the boards. And obviously he crashes the boards. He does a great job of that. And he'll score his points down low. But he has to defend better, right?
Because
if you have a guy that's just an average defender who can't space the floor and can't hit free throws, like that guy, like there's a very limited ceiling to him.
Agreed. But I still think they should make it. And also the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
They should make it as well because I just like their roster.
They were also a better team than the record suggested last year. So we can look out. Yeah, so they finished 36-46, 10 games below 500. And yet they, you know, in the end, they were a plus .2 on the season in their point differential.
Right.
Which suggests that they were, you know, they were unlucky, right? They lost a lot of close games. They very easily could have made the playoffs and had a far better record.
Mm-hmm.
But
teams that made the playoffs, like the Hawks and the Bucks, yeah, they were a minus. I see what you're saying here.
And Dwight Howard, it's funny because for a while there, he was probably an overrated player, and now he's just an underrated player. Like, he is not as bad as people make him out to be. He still helps the team.
I mean, he's an elite defender, but
not anymore. Definitely not an elite defender.
Well, he's a very capable defender.
He's capable, and he's a great rebounder still.
Yeah. But the thing is, you gotta give credence to the fact that everywhere he's gone, his team has hated him. And what was that?
He thinks he can be like a post threat and stuff, and it's like, no, Dwight, you're not.
That editorial that came out this year was so telling, where he said he was trying to emulate NBA figures through history that he was trying to be in the shadow of. And I just think, like, as a character guy, I just don't see him finding a home in Charlotte, or anywhere for that matter. He could play on all 30 NBA teams, which at this rate he will, and I just don't see him finding a fit anywhere, in spite of his amazing talent. That's sad to me. But, I mean, are you rooting for Dwight? Are you rooting for these Hornets? I like Kemba.
Yeah, I mean,
Nicholas Batum. They got pieces.
Yeah, I think they'll be a good team. I definitely, it would not surprise me if they finished fifth, for example.
Last year they came out of the gates hot, and then they just started losing.
They lost Cody Zeller for a bit, and they were terrible without him.
That's one thing. As I love their big man rotation right now, Kaminsky, Zeller, good passers and shooters, and then you got Howard, who's, you know, an institution in NBA centers. So, that's how I see the East shaking out. You like the Sixers and the who was the other team you liked to make the playoffs?
Well, I think we had the same seven. I just
You said the Hornets too, yeah. And I like the Pistons. So let's go to the West now. Now this is going to be
far more interesting conference.
Oh, definitely. I mean, geez, you're going to have to win 50 plus games to make the playoffs here. So just hit me with who your eight teams are.
Yeah. So obviously Golden State number one. I think they'll come close to the record again for most regular season wins. After that, you know, I'll go OKC, my number two, Houston number three, San Antonio number four. I think that's kind of the clear top four. I just can't count out the Spurs. I mean, they get their wins. You know, they're always 60 around there.
Why no off season at? Well, I mean, let finish your eight, and then I'll ask you about the Spurs.
Yeah, for sure. And then going beyond that, it's tough. Like, it'll be close. At five, I would go Minnesota. They just have so much firepower. At six, I'll go Nuggets. Like, just bringing in Millsap and another year and just of Jokic development. Like, I feel like that's going to be a very strong team. And then for the final two seeds, I really want the Pelicans to succeed. So I'm kind of pulling for them. I feel like Pelicans at seven, and then the Clippers squeaking in there at eight. The Clippers are interesting because the Clippers have always struggled mightily without Chris Paul. Like, he's always led in, like, ESPN's Real Plus Minus. He's always been one of the top guys. But the thing, though, is that Doc always ran bench-heavy units. And that actually when DeAndre and Blake were out there together, the Clippers weren't that bad. They were fine. So the fact that they lost Chris Paul isn't necessarily as bad as it seems when you look at the advanced stats. Like, oh, without Chris Paul, they're terrible. Well, right. It's because without Chris Paul, there was often no Blake, right? Or no DeAndre. Whereas you have them together, and they at least got a lot of depth, and they have pieces, and I think they can squeak out that eighth seed over Utah.
They're going to be a fun team because I love Gallinari, and it's a chance for him to blossom after kind of an injury-riddled career.
And he's still a good player.
Yeah,
like he's
always been really good.
He can
play,
obviously he's best at the four, but he can also play the three, which I think he'll probably start off with. Like, he'll start at the three, I assume.
And they, they're a front-court-focused team, but they have two-headed point guard monster and Patrick Beverley, who's just a capable perimeter shooter and also a great defender, an elite defender. Milos Teledosic.
Yeah, Teledosic. What I do hope is that, I hope they don't start Austin Rivers.
Oh, man. Yeah, me too.
I would almost rather them go Beverley and start Lou Williams.
Yeah.
Start Lou Williams at the two.
Sure.
Because Beverley, like, he's small, but he plays big, you know? Like, he's a guy that gives you toughness, and so you can get away with him and Lou. And him, Lou, Gallinari, Blake, and DeAndre is kind of your starting lineup. And then off the bench, you know, you got Teodosic, who showed in that first game with his 8 assists. This guy's a great playmaker. And he really, the offense ran a lot better when he was out there. Mm-hmm. And yet in the box score, he still finished up as a 0. And the reason why is because the Raps killed him defensively, right?
Right.
He's not a very good defender. And that limits how much he'll help them. So he helped them offensively. They scored better when he was out there, but he was still a 0, right?
In
terms of plus minus. And so that's why I think he's better off for the bench, where he can lead that bench unit and not have to go up against the other team's best lineups.
Gotcha.
So him coming off the bench and Austin Rivers, I think there's enough there to win games. I would not be surprised if Utah Jazz grab that 8th seed instead, or even the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies will still be a good team.
So you think the Utah Jazz are going to stay the course and steady the ship and still make the playoffs? They didn't take a massive step back.
Well, I'm not predicting them to make it, but I think they'll still be close.
They'll be good.
They'll still be a very strong defensive team.
Do you think it'll be a good year for Ricky Rubio?
Yeah, I think he's going to be in a team that believes in him.
Yeah.
Really what it's going to come down to, whether they make the playoffs or not, is Rodney Hood. Because... Mm-hmm. If Rodney Hood can take that next step and replace the offense they lost in Gordon Hayward, then I'd say they make the playoffs. And Hood is a good scorer. The question is, can he fill the role that Gordon Hayward was?
Yeah, that's true. All they lost was Gordon Hayward. It's not like their infrastructure was devastated. Yeah. So I'll hit you with my 8 right now. So. You got the Warriors, the Rockets, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are at the top of the conference. The Spurs. So my question about the Spurs is, they had limited offseason activity. And last year, when Kawhi Leonard got injured in that Zaza Pachulia incident, they seemed so thin. And they didn't have a lot of options there. Once Kawhi went out. So does it really matter if Kawhi is healthy? Like, do they have enough to win it all? They got Rudy Gay, but...
Yeah, but Gay's coming off, you know, at torn Achilles.
That's right.
So it's... We still have to... Like, what are we going to see out of him? And you lost... Yeah, you lost some depth, losing Simmons, losing Deadman.
I forgot they lost Simmons. He's in Orlando, right?
Yeah. And
man, Orlando's a wasteland of just pieces that were good elsewhere.
Yeah.
But go on.
It was a good contract, though. They at least got him on. But yeah, you look at San Antonio, and I mean, they shouldn't be as good as the other teams, but they just have such a strong system in place. I mean, you just look at last year, like, Kawhi did not play in the elimination game against Houston, and they killed him. Right, like there's something that, like, they have a very strong system, and you look at a lineup still of Patty Mills, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus at the 4, Powell at the 5. Like, that's still a strong team, and you have Rudy Gay off the bench, you have Dejounte Murray, who I believe in, I like him. You know, so you still have some pieces. I think they'll still be a very good team.
So in an off-season of insane roster movement, it's just Spurs didn't do much besides add Rudy Gay and lose a couple pieces. And I just wonder what... I mean, we know what Pop's going to do. He's just going to roll out another great season.
Well, somebody said, like, I was listening to a podcast, I can't remember exactly who it was, that, like, if this was an identical situation somewhere else where Kawhi Leonard was on this team, and you looked at the roster that's San Antonio's, you'd be like, they're wasting Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
You know? Because this... You look at the rosters of the other teams around him, and it's just like this... You're not in the same league, and yet the Spurs just do it.
That's right. Well, we'll see. A lot of people have them... Again, like... At this point, it's just ingrained in us. We can't count out the Spurs. But... don't know. I'm going to because I just I remember those West finals. It was a romp after Kawhi went down.
Yeah, but that's when obviously if Kawhi goes down, they are absolutely over.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Okay, but like when Kawhi was there, they were up 20 points in game one.
But over a 7-game series, you know, could.
But they were gonna put like if Kawhi not got hurt, they would have won game one guaranteed.
Yeah.
Like we all agree with that. So they would have won game one. Like this would have been the series. They would have at least put up a fight.
That's true. So you know what? I do have the Spurs at four, and my bottom four teams are as follows. I like the Clippers. I like the Blazers. Okay. I like the T-Wolves, and I like the Grizzlies.
That's true. The Blazers, like I was kind of counting out there.
They have a big three. They officially have a small big three.
Really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the West is going to be tough. Like, I took the Pelicans. Just
I like that pick because I want the Pelicans to be successful.
Well, they finished strong at the end of the year. And, like, they have, I don't know, I guess it's not really a big three because Holiday, you know, he's still not quite at that star level, but he's still a very good point guard. And I don't know. I'm just optimistic of the way they finished the year last year.
Well, you know what I like is that we talked earlier about every team moving away from having like a dominant big and, you know, starting sissies like Kevin Love at the center position. And you look at the Celtics even, it's like putting Al Horford there down in the post. Like, people are going to breeze past them. But I want the Pelicans to be rewarded for the boldness of their roster construction. I want this to work. And they have Rondo, such a heady point guard. I mean, we look at what he did in the Chicago Bulls series. I think stock on Rondo is high. Higher than it's been in a couple years.
Yeah, he got hurt at the right time.
And even if he sucks the whole regular season, we can just be like, well, remember Rondo. Those two games? And so I hope the Pelicans make it, but what I see happening more so is the Clippers, the Blazers, the Grizzlies, and the T-Wolves shaking out that bottom four in any order because I can't – I just don't see Conley and Gasol not – I just like the Grizzlies because they have those two players.
Yeah. I related to both our predictions because we both have a clear – like we both had our top four the same. You know, maybe in different order. But looking at the rest of the conference, the only team that I see being able to actually contend for a championship, aside from that top four, is Minnesota. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Because, like, there's other teams. Like, Denver, I'm high on. I think they'll be a good team. But I really don't think...
Did I leave out Denver? I did. Okay. Let me trade you... After I went off on the Grizzlies, let me trade you the Grizzlies for Denver.
Well, see, this is the funny thing about people, like, trying to talk up the Lakers, like, to make a playoff spot.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, we just left, like, in my prediction, I said the Grizzlies wouldn't make it. I said the Trailblazers wouldn't make it. Like, these are good teams.
All the playoff teams don't fit in the slots.
Exactly.
There's 10 playoff teams.
Like, I refuse to believe the Lakers have a chance.
No, they're going to be fun, though. They're a league pass team. I did want to talk about Lonzo a little bit. Can I just get your thoughts on Lonzo Ball?
I a million percent agree. They're going to be a league pass team. Like, they're going to be exciting. They're going to run on the floor. Lonzo is a great passer.
Brandon Ingram's development. I mean, he's
Interested in that. Yeah, Ingram. Like, he's still...
He's kind of like a little Durant,
he's still only
right?
20 years old.
Yeah.
He's still got superstar potential.
I like Julius Randle, too.
Julius Randle, he's not going to be a star, but he, like, solid dude. Like, solid role player. It should be fun. Like,
and Luke Walton is year two of him as a coach. So, I look forward to watching the Lakers, but, you know, you're high if you think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, let's finish this podcast off. We got about 5 minutes left, so... not exceeding that 5 minutes. Let's give our predictions for the six awards. So let's talk about rookies. This is an exciting batch of rookies. Who's your rookie of the year prediction?
I go with Simmons.
I forgot about that. He can be a rookie,
yeah.
Of course.
And I think he's going to get. He's going to get a chance to run the offense, even though he's not necessarily going to start point guard. And yeah, I think this. Obviously, I'm high on the Sixers in the sense that I think they'll make the playoffs. Wanyama. He'd be my prediction.
I'm going to say it's going to be Lonzo because he has the biggest stage and he's going to have the best plays. So it's too hard to think about most improved in sixth man just because, like, that's it could be anybody.
Yeah.
But let's move to defensive player of the year.
I think Gobert will get it this year. Even though Draymond might deserve it again this year, he'll have to deal with voter fatigue. And Gobert was so close last year. Utah's going to be all about defense, and especially if he can squeeze him into the playoffs. See, I'll go with Gobert.
Well, I'm going to hit you with a double-decker prediction, man, because this is unprecedented. Has never happened before. But I see the same individual winning the Defensive Player of the Year and the Most Valuable Player Award this year, and that's Kawhi Leonard. And the reason I see him as DPOY is because simply he's the best defensive player in the league. And the reason I see him winning MVP is because everybody else moved around and has buddies, super buddies, to help him win a championship. Like we talked about at length, Kawhi's on his own. So who's taking it from Kawhi this year?
It's still, though, like the argument against that, though, is remember that LeBron, he won 3 or 4 years, right? When he was with Miami.
That's true.
And, like, if Durant hadn't got hurt, he might have won it.
Durant is actually my dark horse to win this year just because people will kind of remember how key he was in the finals, and then if he just continues that course this year, he also could win it potentially.
Okay. Well, I mean, I haven't given my prediction yet, but I was going to say Durant.
Durant's your prediction? Sweet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things where it's like the big thing that hurt him, I guess, this year in terms of story. Obviously, ultimately, it was his injury. But even if he had stayed healthy, it would have been like, oh, he's with such a superstar lineup. But I think that's going to be hurt a bit more just by the fact that all the other stars are going to be. And LeBron, I think, is going to take a little bit of less of a workload.
Do you think LeBron wants an MVP? Is that on his radar?
Apparently, last year, like going into the year, he was... reports came out, like, from people close to him that he was a bit ticked off that it had been so long since he won MVP. And he went out and had a great year. He, like, a lot of years, his performance would have won MVP. Actually, like, majority of seasons, he would have won MVP. That was just an extraordinary year.
Kobe only won one MVP award, so that's how it just shakes out sometimes. I mean...
Yeah, and it, like, that was statistically LeBron's best year. Ever. In terms of when you look at his efficiency, his percentages, his assist totals, his rebound totals. And, you know, that year he just happened to not win it. But you look at, like, Harden, now he's going to have Paul. That's going to hurt his assist numbers, hurt his point total numbers. Westbrook just added two superstars. Like, Westbrook had those gaudy numbers because the dude had, like, a 40% usage rate. There's no way he has a 40% usage rate this year. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, it'll be tough for him to win it again. Kawhi will, of course, be a big threat. LeBron. But, yeah, I think it's going to be Durant.
Last year was so important in Russell Westbrook's career because he was by himself in OKC. And he got to have average a triple-double, which is unprecedented. And, you know, focus on his stats. He won the MVP. Now, I mean, that shouldn't even be on his mind. Now it's all about all in 1 year, win a championship with this talent. And so, yeah, that's why I see it being Kawhi. So, Book, that's it. We're at an hour. Let's call it. This was the first episode of Hamster Wheel Sports Season 2. Thank you for carrying me. You're the star of this team. And hopefully by January, like, or maybe even like spring when the weather warms up a little bit, I'll loosen up and I'll start getting into a rhythm. Yeah, we're going to document the entire 2017-2018 season. And before we go, I don't want to hear any analysis or explanation. All I want to know is who you see winning the chip. Just say the team. That's it.
I'm going to go with Golden State Warriors.
Select.
It's killing my soul to say it, but I mean, they're still the best team.
Well, you're stupid if you say that. Any other team. I see the Golden State Warriors winning it all. So, you know what? Actually, let's call off this podcast this year. There's no point. But it's going to be a hell of a season. And, yeah.
I think it'll, at the very least, it's got to be tougher for them this year.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to breeze the way they did last year.
Well, you know, that's why they roll the ball out and play the games, man. And basketball, what I love about basketball is how unpredictable it is. And until it happens, you can't see it happening. But, you know, anyone could win at this point. You know, the Dallas Mavericks could win it all this year.
That's not happening.
You know what? I'm changing my prediction. It's going to be the Mavs. Dirk's going to put it all together and have a magical season. So, look for Hamster Wheel Sports in the iTunes store. You can find it on hamsterwheelfilm.com. Hamster Wheel Sports is recorded live at Save on Meats. And remember, sports!
Technical, number 23, 3-second violation, number 11. Traveling, number 4.